Morning. Great to see you. You are a gift. I have some good news. You are a gift. Your beautiful, imperfect, messy, wonderful life is a gift. And the world has need of you. The world has need of how you uniquely embody the light and love of God's Spirit and bring that light and love into the world. So just in case you've forgotten, or perhaps no one's told you for a while, you are a gift. You know, Howard Thurman is a well-known civil rights activist and theologian. And he was asked once how he managed to survive the beatings and the brutality and the hate and the discrimination that he experienced throughout his life. How did he manage to survive all of that and somehow continue to be a force for good and light in the world and justice? And Howard Thurman said, well, my mama used to tell me every day growing up that I was a beloved child of God. There wasn't a day where my mama didn't tell me, she didn't look me in the eyes and say, now remember, you're a beloved child of God. And I guess I just believed her. Friends, you are beloved children of God. You know, what we believe about ourselves, what we understand about ourselves, impacts how we live in this world. That when you contemplate, when you take on, when you understand that you are created in the image of God's goodness, when that whole idea that you are created in the image of God's goodness, when that idea seeps into your bones, you can't help but reflect that goodness in the world. So L.R. Nost, a writer, said, the world sits in darkness, waiting for the light that is you, that is each and every one of you. So the world has need of you. Today we celebrate the work of love that is ours to do here at First Presbyterian. And I'm passionate about the work of love that is ours to do. And we're invited to be partners in that work. And I want to just let you know that work of love that is ours to do here at First Presbyterian, it matters. It matters every single day, and it matters to literally thousands of people. And you matter to that work. The world has need of you. What a daunting thought, really. Remember Lucy and Charlie Brown and the Peanuts? So Lucy was setting Charlie Brown straight one day and said, Lucy, life is like a ship. And your deck chair is either on the front of the ship and you're looking ahead, or it's in the back of the ship and you're looking behind. Charlie Brown, where is your deck chair? And Charlie Brown said, I can't get it open. And I feel like that most days. But the beautiful thing is, the world has need of people like me who can't get my deck chair open. There's a rabbi who used to carry a card in his pocket. And on one side of the card, it says, you are but dust. You know, that reminder of humility, that reminder that that we're not in charge of the world. We're not in control of the world. We can't fix the world, nor everyone in the world. We are but dust. But then the other side of the card says, you are made out of the same stuff as stars. So sometimes a little humility is helpful to know that I'm not in charge of everything, that I can't fix the world. But sometimes, gosh, it's helpful to be reminded of our goodness, to be reminded of our beauty, to be reminded that we are gifts, to be reminded of the light that we can bring into the world. Jesus said, you are light in Matthew. You are light. He didn't say you ought to be, you should be, you could be, you might be someday if you figure out how to open your deck chair. He said, you are light for all the world. And the world sits in darkness, waiting for the light that is you. So the world has need of you. But here is the good news. The world has need of you. The world has need of you. The world doesn't need you to be anyone different than you. The world doesn't need you to be better than you. The world doesn't need you to be less than you. The world doesn't need you to be other than you. The world doesn't need you to be somebody other, somebody, someone else. You. The world has need of beautiful, imperfect, messy, wonderful you. There's a wonderful story of a rabbi, Rabbi Zusa. And Rabbi Zusa says, when I get to that other world, I'm not going to be asked, why weren't you Moses? I'm going to be asked, why weren't you Zusa? Why didn't you allow God to speak through your unique self, your messy, imperfect, beautiful self? The world doesn't need you to be Moses. Moses is Moses. The world needs you to be you. The Apostle Paul said something really similar in our scripture today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the church at Corinth was in conflict. They were experiencing a lot of strife and difficulty. And one of the sources of this conflict is that some people were regarded as more superior than other people. Can you imagine that? That some people were treated as less worthy than other people. That some people, their gifts and what they had to offer, what they had to bring, were held in high regard, and other people were kind of dismissed and ignored, and what they had to bring was considered somewhat insignificant. And Paul was speaking to that. And in verse 7, he says, no. Now to each one, not some special people, not the people who have the microphone. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good of all. Kind of how I understand this is God shows up in each and every one of our lives in a unique way, so that we might show up in the world in our uniqueness. God shows up in you, and the way that God shows up in you matters. It is no less than the way God shows up in me or anybody else, so that you might show up for the benefit of all. There was a gentleman who was a member of this church for many years, 10 years ago, he transitioned from this life to more life, and he joined the great company of the Saints of Light. Does anyone here remember Leonard Peoples? Leonard was an usher. But Leonard wasn't just a greeter and an usher at one of the services. Leonard was a greeter and usher at every single service. And Leonard loved the bell out front. Leonard could not ring that bell enough on a Sunday morning. And Leonard would ring that bell just to announce the day has arrived. And Leonard would stand at that door, and no matter who you are, where you came from, how old you are, how young you were, Leonard would make you feel like the most important person on the face of the planet. And if a child would come to church, Leonard would make sure that that child would ring the bell. And he would say, don't worry, ring it as, he would say, ring it as loudly, that was Leonard saying, I'm here. He would say, ring that bell as loudly as you can to let the world know that you're here. Wow. You know, I think about Leonard. Somehow what I was thinking about today, I couldn't help but think of Leonard. And I thought, you know, we can't fix the world. But we change the world. In fact, we change the world by our sheer presence in the world. So the question really is, what will we bring? How will we show up that will change the world? Leonard, for us who gathered on a Sunday, changed the world for us. One deep regret I have, I didn't tell him what a difference he made in my life. What a difference he made, not just on Sundays, but just generally. The gift of his heart, the gift of his presence, the gift of his sheer goodness mattered and impacted me largely. And I think of a Sunday morning, what Leonard was doing out there, ringing the bell, greeting people, was no less than what I'm trying to do here. We were partners in this. You matter. You matter. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, I don't know what my gifts are. I get that. That's where I think what Paul says in the next chapter, in chapter 13, where he begins, and he says, even if you have the gift of being able to speak with the eloquence of an angel, but have not love, you're nothing but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I think what I hear in that is, back to chapter 12, verse 7, that maybe it's not necessarily, well, what is that specific gift? But recognizing you are the gift. Your goodness is the gift. Your heart is the gift. Your generosity is the gift. Your presence is the gift. Your beauty is the gift. Even if you can't open up a deck chair, you are the gift. So today we celebrate the work of love that is ours to do. And I want to tell you, the work of love that's ours to do through First Presbyterian matters. I really believe it matters. Matters to thousands of people. And each of you matter to that work. But today we also want to create a little bit of space. You'll find a pledge card in your bulletin. Don't confuse it with the pledge card that invites you to give your financial resources. That's important too. This is a pledge card that invites us to think about being God's partners. To think about that idea, you know, the scripture says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with goodness. We are created in the image of God's goodness. so that we might reflect that goodness in the world. You know, how might we partner with God to bring the goodness of who we are into the world? It matters. It matters. So we're going to share how we might fill this card out today. We might fill it out differently tomorrow. And we encourage you to spend a little time and to make your pledge as to how you will show up in the world. You won't fix the world, but you do change the world by your sheer presence in it. So you might want to put it on your bathroom mirror, maybe in your car, somewhere you can see it and be invited into the intentionality to be the gift that you are. So how I answered this question is, I am God's partner when I remind you of your belovedness. I am God's partner when I remind you. That's what I feel called to do. I see part of my job is I feel called to remind you that you are created in the image of God's goodness so that you might reflect the sheer goodness of who you are in the world. Dr. King said, darkness does not drive out darkness. And things are so ugly these days, it's so tempting in how we react to that ugliness to just be ugly. Dr. King said, it's your light. It's the light of who you are that will drive out darkness. So I see my job is to remind you as often as I possibly can, you are light. So I want to invite my colleagues, my partners in ministry, to share how they are intentionally choosing to show up in the world.
Seems appropriate that I would also offer perhaps a more mundane reflection on this prompt. And for me, it's that I am God's partner when I take care of Buddy, my three-legged, weird-haired golden retriever, so that he can bring joy to so many people. We have a rhythm now of, on most Saturdays, we go downtown to the Starbucks, and he just like takes over the sidewalk and just insists that everyone that passes by give him love and attention. And then you see like fully grown men just like on the sidewalk giving him belly rubs, and it's a beautiful thing to see that much joy.
As Stephen said, it might change from day to day what you fill out on your pledge card. Mine changes from service to service. So at the 8:30, I had one thing. But at this service, what sparked in me was I have a friend who just speaks so much life into me, and she speaks so much encouragement. She notices me, and she notices what I do and how I do it, and she tells me that. And as I was thinking about having no regrets, you're talking about the regret but not telling him that. I don't want to be a person who doesn't tell people what I see in them, the good that I see in them. And so my pledge is that I will slow down and I will notice and I will speak the things that I see in you and in my family and in my community and in my friends. And those will be words of encouragement so that you know how what you do makes a difference, and it encourages me, and it encourages our world.
I appreciate Stephen's words earlier when he says, you be you. You fill this out in a way that is unique to you, because when we got these pledge cards, I was going around the office going, what did you write? And what did you write? So I could figure out what I could write. And then I had to realize I had to write what was specific to me. How could I partner with God? And I wrote, I am God's partner when I reduce, reuse, and recycle so that I can better care for God's earth. I genuinely believe that every decision that I make impacts God's beautiful creation, and everything I do, from the way I get to here to church, to how I celebrate things in my life, to how I grocery shop, all those decisions impact God's creation and how I can make those small changes so that our earth is sustainable for generations to come.
When I was thinking about being God's partner, I think about that. I just think about this awesome privilege to enter into this healing and restorative work in the world. And I want to name like all these really big things that I could accomplish or do. But I was kind of just thinking more about the small ways that we show up. And so what I wrote was, I'm God's partner when I stop and listen, so that more of us can experience the healing of being seen and heard. And I just think of that, even talking about that gift of our presence. And as a mom, I can stop and listen to my children and help them be seen and heard. I can stop and listen to that new and isolated mom and help her feel seen and heard. And I really believe that those small things, just showing up, can make such a difference.
Aren't I lucky to work with these folks? The Talmud says, do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justice now. Love kindness now. Walk humbly now. You're not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. The world sits in darkness, waiting for the light, the unique light that is you, to show up. So we invite you just to take a moment to think about how you would fill this card out. And when you do, say if you put it in your car, put it on your mirror, put it wherever else, snap a photo of it. And send it to us. We would love that. That would actually encourage and inspire us to hear a little bit how you are intentionally choosing to partner with God, showing up in the world. And you'll find our emails, any of our emails, on the back of your bulletin. So just take a moment to sit and to remember, you are a gift.